I'm going to give a copy to churches to keep, and I really enjoy these church conferences that we have, things we learn, and sometimes just the Christian things we've already learned and so forth, but I think it's important too that our younger generation learn these things and make sure that we don't lose things along the way. And another important thing too is I think it's important for us to be able to take some of these things that we understand and have known for years and sometimes take for granted that others know what we do within the church. But sometimes when we get around with our relatives, our co-workers, our friends, neighbors, people we come in contact with, especially on this topic as it relates to the kingdom, it's not very well understood the way that we understand the Bible teaches it. And matter of fact, I would say the great majority of the people don't understand it this way. So it's very important for us to understand it so that maybe we can take that as a top conversation when something comes up about the church, that we can talk about the church and the kingdom, and maybe we can talk to people and be able to convert people and to have them to understand what the Bible really does teach. Because we've talked about this many times on things that we differ with in the world. Most people didn't understand that because they sit down with the Bible read and come to that conclusion. They came to that conclusion because somebody else told them that's what they were supposed to think. So sometimes if we can just go back to the Bible and get people to have an open mind about things, we can better understand that topic. So the idea that the kingdom of Christ is literal, earthly kingdom, is not new. The Jews of Jesus' day believed that this was to be the case, and as we find out today, many people today believe that the kingdom is going to be a literal kingdom, that Jesus is going to come back and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to get into to that area a whole lot. But if you think about that, and Brother Greg mentioned about false doctrines and things that the devil's out to get us and different things like that, think about what that does, that Satan does. If he can get in people's mind that if you don't make it the first time around, there's a second chance. We like second chances in this country, don't we? We have them all the time. If you don't pass your driver's license, you can come back. You can retake your test. You can go back to summer school. You can do anything if you don't make it the first time through. But to think about making it to heaven, we know that's just a past thing. We're either going to make it to heaven or we're not. And if we almost make it to heaven, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. And that's another false doctrine that the devil puts out there, and many in the world believe that there's going to be a second chance. The fact that it's going to come when there's a literal kingdom upon this earth. But the Bible doesn't teach that. And again, the people of Jesus' day believe that it's going to be that way. They believe the Old Testament prophecies taught that the Messiah would come and establish a great kingdom, and Israel would rule the world. Jerusalem at the time of Christ was dominated by the Roman Empire, and they were looking for the Christ who would deliver them from the hand of their oppressor. However, this will be shown that that was not the case. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, several times taught concerning the nature of his kingdom. He left no doubt that his kingdom was to be of a spiritual nature. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus stated to the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, but behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It was not to come as other kings, with the sound of a battle trumpet or a great war, but rather that the men accepting the teachings of Christ, committing themselves with. Another passage will serve to set forth the nature of the kingdom is found in John chapter 18 and verse 36. Here we find Jesus being questioned by Pilate. Pilate, during his interrogation, asked Jesus if he were a king. This was of great concern to the Roman government and the ruler of Caesar. Jesus then puts Pilate's fear to rest, and answering, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from them." Here we find that the nature of Jesus' kingdom. It is not of this world, rather it is a spiritual kingdom. In the first century, the kingdom was spoken of as being at hand. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom and the church were promised in the lifetime of Peter. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, "I say also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You know, we see these passages here about what Jesus said he's going to build his church. And then he says he's going to give Peter the keys to the kingdom. You know, if the kingdom and the church are not one and the same, why would you tell them about one thing and give them the keys to something else? Again, the majority of the world does believe that they are different. But look at the entrance to the kingdom. In John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." And again, you'd be surprised tonight when we discuss this with people, how they could misunderstand that one passage right there because of false doctrine they've been taught. Then we look at the entrance into the church. In Acts chapter 2, we see on the day of Pentecost, what Greg mentioned earlier, here where it talks about those that had helped to crucify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 37, it said, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" And then we see, and in verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The coming of the kingdom was imminent. We see in Luke chapter 9, verse 27, that, "But I tell you of a truth, that there be some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." So in the first century, Christians were in the kingdom. So again, we see this, just this one passage right here, where Jesus said that there would be some standing here that would not die until they saw the kingdom. Well, we understand the kingdom must have come, or there are people walking around today that are 2,000 years old. In the first century, Christians were in the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." In Revelation 1 and 9, we see John in the kingdom. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." How could they be in something which did not exist? Certainly know that they could not. We said communion was to be observed in the kingdom. Mark chapter 14, verse 25, "Said, Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it of you in the kingdom of God." It's the words of Jesus. And also in Luke chapter 22, verse 18, it says, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." But we see we have communion established in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took also the cup, which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Again, we see communion here in the kingdom and communion in the church. Then we also see the kingdom is to be delivered up to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, we see the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church in Corinth. Says, Then cometh the end, and he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. Then we see Christ will be present his church without blemish, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I know this is brief, but I think it establishes the fact that the kingdom and the church are one and the same. The kingdom is in existence today. Those of us that have obeyed the gospel have been added to the church and are members of the kingdom. We are waiting for that kingdom to be delivered up to God that we can enjoy heaven as our home. That's all I have today. I appreciate your attention and appreciate the opportunity to speak.